One of my favorite novels by Ann Tyler tells about a man named Ezra who ran a restaurant. All his life, he was feeding people, and that was his way of caring for them. He made friends with Mrs. Scarlatti, who owned Scarlatti's restaurant. He worked for her. He did a fine job. And one day, she turned the business over to him. Now, over time, Ezra tried various menus and formats of all kinds. And then one day, an idea came to him. He'd cook what people felt homesick for. Tacos like those from vendors' carts in California, which the Mexican was always pining after. And that wonderful, vinegary North Carolina barbecue that Todd Duckett had to have brought by his mother several times a year in cardboard cups. And he would call it the homesick restaurant. And so, no surprise, Ann Tyler's novel is entitled Dinner at the Homesick Restaurant. I kind of wonder, what kind of food are you homesick for? Is it a regional dish? A dish you can get only at home or here in Maryland? And where would you like to eat it? And with whom? A member of one of my former congregations once told me of her grandmother, whose home was probably the most home she'd ever known as an adult. She said it was her late grandmother's mashed potatoes that she was most homesick for. Every time she went home, her grandmother fixed mashed potatoes. And it wasn't only the taste of the potatoes she was homesick for, though it was a pretty terrific bunch of mashed potatoes, but it was going to her home and working alongside her grandmother in the kitchen, you know, peeling and slicing, boiling, mashing the potatoes, and then seasoning them just right for serving on the table. And she said, when you put them in your mouth, what they tasted like was home. Love and friendship, comfort, and somebody who was there for you when you needed them. What about you? It's been my experience that the church is a kind of homesick restaurant, isn't it? It's a place where we can taste and experience what we're most homesick for, and it's a place many homesick people come. Sometimes we don't even know that we're homesick until we get there. And then suddenly our appetite arises and it returns. Funny how it is. When you're homesick, and I mean really homesick, you don't ever feel like eating until you get home. When your legs finally get under that very familiar table, and you see and smell that feast that's spread before you, you feel like you could eat forever. We learn of the early church in the book of Acts, which tells what followers found and tasted when they met together as the fellowship of faith in the name of the risen Christ. They found things there that they'd hungered for all their lives. They were fed God's word. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And in the same way as those early disciples, you and I hunger for some clear and satisfying word. We need a word from God. Scriptures, of course, not only provide, but are this word, a reliable compass to guide us through stormy and uncharted seas. And the Word of God is what you will find at the homesick restaurant known as the church. If you search its menu long enough, you'll find what you really need. Reliable guidance amidst a world of deception. Tender mercies that are filled amidst a world that's filled with hate-filled rhetoric. Reassuring light in the middle of frightening darkness. Care for your hungry and your tired soul, and uplifting songs and music in even the darkest night. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. But we're also homesick for one another, aren't we? For a sense of community and communion. God did not create us to be alone, but to live in deep communion with others. The text says that the early church devoted itself to koinonia in Greek, which means profound and authentic fellowship. And such a community, of course, is not an instant reality. It doesn't just happen haphazardly. You have to give priority to such fellowship. God's word said that they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and having prayers together. It's a moving picture of the early Christian community. They would gather in one another's homes, shepherds and fishermen, servants and handmaidens, merchants and patrons, rich and poor, and they prayed together, side by side. They passed bread and fruit. They shared fish. They served wine. And they ate together with glad and generous hearts. I suspect that we're all homesick for that kind of experience, sitting with people we love and who love us. Hearts filled with gladness, hearts that want to give of themselves and share and celebrate together, much like you do in the week ahead, creating a home where those who have no homes are welcome and feeding the hungry. Home is each other when we're together in Christ, and it may be the best home or the most home we've ever been able to experience in our lives. In Ann Tyler's novel, Ezra keeps trying to get his family together in his restaurant. They never, however, make it through a meal without getting into a fight, without somebody yelling or screaming or stomping out and everything falling apart. That's not the church, is it? Of course it is. But Jesus, according to Scripture, says that we can make it past the appetizer. He says that the best home of all is not the one behind us, but the one ahead of us, the one called the kingdom of God. But in Christ, it's the one we can taste and glimpse and touch and experience right here and now as we gather together in the name of our Lord. But home, most of all, is meeting Jesus Christ, loving us, lost or found, or any which way, because he is the one we hunger for most. There's forgiveness here and welcome home. There's a Savior here who understands everything about us because There's nothing human he has not experienced, born as he was in a backyard stable years ago. He's felt every human emotion, every exaltation and every desolation, every broken heart and every heart on fire, every time of wondering and every time of wandering. And our Savior is not just waiting to see if we're hungry enough to come home. He's the shepherd leaving the 99 safe ones behind and going after the one that's lost. He's the woman turning the house upside down and looking for her cherished coin. He's a father running down the driveway, down the road, to greet his son home, whom he thought was dead. And he's the king throwing a banquet and sending his servants to bring everybody in, anybody they can find. And when we come here, dear friends, we meet Jesus Christ, who is surprise of mercy, outgoing gladness and hugs, rescue, healing, understanding, new life. He's the one we're most homesick for, because it was through him and for him and in him we were made. And so when we come home to him, we finally come home to ourselves. And when we are near him and around him, as he meets us through those who are part of the fellowship, we find our truest selves. And we say, so that's who I am. And it's then that the poet's hymn becomes ours. The sure provisions of my God attend me all my days. Oh, may your house be my abode and all my work be praise. There would I find a settled rest while others come and go. No more a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home. Let us pray. O Lord our God, in this Christmas season, bestow upon us the life-giving vision of being the church, especially in this time of stars and stables, that in our life together we may live and serve in such a loving way as to become ourselves a homesick restaurant, sustained and guided always by your Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. Amen.